game, then cleaning the, you know, clearing out the stadium, and then have everybody come back for a night game. I don't know if folks still remember how to do a traditional doubleheader.
Yeah, you don't see them very much anymore because teams don't like to lose a gate. You know, they like to get that extra attendance. So a lot of times you see them split where it's a 1 o'clock and a 7 o'clock, and you get two different attendances in there. But, yeah, traditional old-school doubleheader. Hey, they used to schedule these things when I was a kid. So
see, me too.
I used to go to games with my parents. We'd go see two for the price of one. It was great.
You know, when I was growing up as a kid, when I was, you know, the single digits, when I was 8, 9, whatever the case may be, there was nothing better than sitting there with my little scorecard there, and especially on a Sunday doubleheader, and you're actually listening on the radio. And so you're listening to the, in this case, back in the day, was Ernie Johnson with the Braves. And for, you know, 1 year before he then moved to Houston, Milo Hamilton, for example, another name out there. But it was just nice hearing them paint the picture of, you know, and to me, that was the best thing growing up, that so many folks today don't really get the full picture because they're so accustomed, for the most part, when they get a chance to watch games on TV, they don't remember a day where there was only a handful of games on the TV of your favorite team. And so you did have to rely on listening to the radio for the most part to hear your favorite team and hear about your favorite team.
Yeah, now you can get it on your phone. You can take it anywhere you want.
Oh, I know.
You can't miss out on it, you know? So it is amazing how much more connected you are now to your team, especially the ability to watch all the games, package. You know, you can listen to all the games if you want. So, yeah, you can't miss it. It'd be awfully hard to miss it. You'd have to almost try to.
All right, your thoughts right now where the Braves are. I mean, as soon as you see the news, Braves closer out for the year with shoulder surgery, the first thoughts, everybody starts throwing out Craig Kimbrel. You know, where are the Braves right now through 18 games?
Well, you know, it's a big loss. And you know, right now the bullpen has taken a bit of a hit because Viz is out for the year. You know, you've got Shane Carl, who's been extremely inconsistent. He's been up and down. He's back at AAA. Darren O'Day, who you thought was going to be a big piece of your pen, he has been hurt since really the start of spring training, so you haven't seen him at all. You know, you've got a lot of guys with not a lot of experience in that bullpen right now. So, you know, I know Kimbrel's name keeps popping up. The latest I've been told is that nothing is imminent on the Craig Kimbrel front, at least at this point. Sounds like the asking price and the years are still above where the Braves feel comfortable. So, for now, you know, it sounds like the Braves are going to continue to weigh their internal options and figure out what direction they want to go. But, look, the thing for me, Johnny, and we may have talked about this before, you know, Craig Kimbrel could help 10 teams win right now. Why are there not teams lining up? Why have you not heard more teams in the Craig Kimbrel conversation? Bullpens, especially in this National League East. The Mets probably have the best one. The Nationals is a mess. The Phillies have some injuries. They're inconsistent. There's three teams in this National League East he could help right now, and no one else is getting involved. So that, to me, is a red flag. I'm kind of curious why other teams aren't interested because, you know, you look at the Cubs bullpen. That's a mess. There's other teams out there. We could go on and on. The fact that nobody's gotten involved, to me, is a sign that maybe there's more, you know, beneath the surface we don't know.
All right, so right now, Dansby Swanson, Vanderbilt product, he is on pace to let's just throw it out there. You know, we're talking about 32 home runs and 162 runs batted in.
Pretty good pace for this early. I will warn you with the small sample size warning, but look, his at-bats have been really good. He's using his legs more. He's lowered his hands a little bit. I think that's allowed him to have power to all fields. He's worked really hard with Kevin Seitzer. Big thing that they wanted to do was get his legs more involved in his swing. And again, I think the fact that you're seeing him go to right field a lot more is a sign that he is stronger. The wrist is healthy. He feels good. So I'll take the under on both those numbers, but boy, if he puts up those kinds of numbers, the Braves are going to laugh to like their chances with the rest of the way this offense shakes out. They've been swinging the bats well here the first few weeks, and hopefully they can get them going again here tomorrow in Cleveland.
Kevin McAlpin, once again with the Braves Radio Network, joining us. By the way, with Dansby and your conversations with him, does he have any kind of chip on his shoulder? Just the fact that there have been folks doubting whether or not he's going to be, you know, the hitter. I mean, look, we've already been, you know, in his career, we've seen the signs as far as his, you know, job out as far as out in the field. That's one thing. But as far as his hitting, any bit of a chip on his shoulder at all approaching this season?
I think a little bit. Yeah, I do. I mean, look, he's had a couple of disappointing years. Obviously, last year, tried to play through that wrist injury. He didn't want to use it as an excuse as to why his numbers weren't where they were. Defensively, he was outstanding. He made significant strides defensively last year. You have to give him credit for that. But I do think there's a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I like it. I like when guys have that little bit of an edge on them. Look, there's a lot of pressure that comes when you're the number one pick, very highly rated. You go to your hometown team. There's a lot that comes with that, and I think it takes guys a while to settle in and get comfortable and just stay within themselves, and I think you've seen that from him here this season. And again, it's a very small sample size, but the early returns are very promising.
Yeah, it's one of these things, the month of April, May. You don't want to panic too much, but at the same time, when you know there's going to be four teams right there, it seems like, throughout the spring and summer, meaning the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Nationals, you know, these games now just as important as the ones in August and September. I'm going to throw out two numbers and get your thoughts on it. First of all, through 18 games, only 8 quality starts from the pitching staff, an earned run average right now of 4.44.
Well, those 8 have probably come here in the last, 11 or 12 games. I mean, they got off to a rough start. That series in Philly was a disaster. They didn't pitch, they didn't hit, they didn't catch the ball well. They just didn't. They got beaten all facets of the game. They came back. They played well against the Cubs and the Marlins. Played well in those two games out at Coors Field, and didn't play all that great against the Diamondbacks, and that's why they got beat. But the starting staff has done a better job. I think the fact that they'll get Salty back soon, he's going to make one more rehab outing tomorrow with Gwinnett. If that goes well, you'll see him back in the mix. Julio has pitched well to start the year. He's had one bad inning, and that was in Denver. And hey, it's going to happen to anybody. Kevin Gausman, his stuff has looked really good. Max Fried has been outstanding. He should still have a 0 ERA after those couple of runs the other night, but that was not his fault. So again, I think once Fulte comes back, that's really going to stabilize a lot, not only in the rotation, but the bullpen as well. And I think it'll allow the Braves to use maybe a Kyle Wright, maybe a Bryce Wilson, maybe one of the other young arms as guys out of the bullpen, because they've shown they can throw strikes. They go out, they attack the zone. And that's really encouraging signs for a lot of these young arms.
Hey, and by the way, you brought up Kyle Wright. Talk about, them. Kyle Wright and both Sean Newcomb were optioned to Gwinnett, back on Sunday. Talk about, what's in store for them moving forward.
Well, Newcomb's got to throw strikes. I mean, he's been terribly inconsistent. A lot of ball one, ball two, 3-1 counts, a lot of walks. And we saw that in spring training, and that was a concern for me coming into the year. Nuke's not a rookie anymore. He's got to be better. He's got to be more on the attack early in the count. He's got to limit the walk, and they've been killing him. So he goes down, try to refine some things, try to work on his fastball command, work ahead in the count, maybe do some different things mechanically. We'll see what they decide to do there. And then Kyle Wright was just, he wasn't the same guy as he was in spring. But the Braves, they're going to need him. They're going to use him, and we will see him again here later on in the season. He has great stuff. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and he's still not a finished product by any means. So just an opportunity for those guys to go down, work on some things, take a deep breath, take a step back. I think if you're Kyle Wright, things probably moved very quickly for you here in spring training and then to start the year. So I think it's just a chance to kind of reflect on everything you've accomplished, but also, again, work on refining your pitches and being more aggressive early in the count.
And I got asked about that earlier this week and was asked about my thoughts of whether it's Kyle Wright or anybody for that matter being in that situation. And I always there's a couple of examples, but one that really sticks out for me was Tom Browning. Early in his career with Cincinnati, he was struggling. And so he gets sent down to the Nashville Sounds, the then AAA team for the Reds. And, and this at the point when I was the media relations director for the Sounds too. And here was somebody that, no chip on his shoulder, understood why he was there and was there to be in a truly businesslike attitude and was there to improve. 2 weeks later, he gets brought back up. And then later on, we're talking about one of the a few perfect games in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and look, it's sometimes going down isn't the worst thing in the world. It's a chance to kind of take a step back. For a guy like Kyle Wright, working on that changeup, I think being able to use that and maybe use it as an out pitch, we'll see how it all plays itself out. Look, it's not the worst thing. And look, he's not the first guy that it's happened to things just don't click for you. But again, he's a sharp young man. He's got a good head on his shoulders. And I think he'll be, even better for it in the long run just to get a little bit more seasoning. Because, a little bit more time in the minors never hurt anybody.
By the way, I know it's early in his career, but I just go back, especially when we think about and those individuals part of the Braves' run in those 14 straight division titles, whether it's Chipper Jones or Tom Glavine, Smoltz, Greg Maddux, whatever the case may be. Still early on, but it just never gets dull watching Ronald Acuña at the plate.
Yeah, he's fun, isn't he? I mean, it's really remarkable. And, you know, that first week of the season, he signed the contract, everyone's saying, oh, you know, is it weighing on him? Well, I think you can get rid of that narrative pretty quickly. So he's impressive to watch. He's a fun guy. He has a lot. He brings a lot of energy to the ballpark every day, and that's something I don't expect to change, even though he got a long-term deal. So it's a treat. We're lucky to watch him, and hopefully it's for the better part of the next decade or even beyond that we'll be able to watch him up close and personal every night.
By the way, you threw out the fact we have a small sample size with regards to Dansby Swanson. So, yeah, those numbers will start tailing off as far as no 162 runs batted in and no 30-plus home runs. Ron Acuña now, different story. You know, he's got 6 home runs, 14 runs batted in through these 18 games. Certainly, if you said that he's going to have over 40 home runs this year, I wouldn't blink an eye at that.
No, I wouldn't either, especially from the cleanup spot. I mean, he's getting good pitches to hit, hitting between Freddie and Nick, and I think that it's a good spot for him. I love the fact that the Braves made that move and bumped him down in the order to capitalize him in those RBI opportunities. He was so good there a year ago, and so you know, to see him in that spot again is really good, and it's really helped, I think, kickstart the Braves offense and helps break up the left-handers, gives Freddie some protection. And you know, you got a guy like Markakis right behind him who can put the bat on the ball. He's Mr. Consistent when he's up there, so I like the way that this lineup stacks up, really top to bottom. You know, it's been a lot of fun. But again, for Acuña, a guy that doesn't seem to get phased or rattled, even in those clutch big moments, he seems to come through each and every time he gets an opportunity.
All right, before we let you go, your thoughts as far as the Braves bullpen for the next 7 days, what should we look out for?
Oh, they need to do better. I mean, it sounds easy, and it's not. But believe me, they're not out there trying to walk guys. But I think that it gets to a point where these walks start adding up. And look, baseball is such a mental game. You're trying to be too perfect sometimes. So you know, these guys have to do better. Right now, teams aren't trading relievers. It's the third week of the season. You know, teams aren't selling off pieces yet. So you know, what you are is what you are right now. And guys need to step up. They need to figure it out. And, you know, Wes Parsons has done a nice job. Good to see Dan Winkler back. Minter still kind of rounding into form. These guys are going to need to have to hold the fort down because Viz is done for the year. So until you get to the point, June, July, when those relievers become available, maybe in the interim you do see young starters used in those roles. But it has to change in a hurry because you got to stop walking guys in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. So like I said, it may sound easy, but believe me, it's really, really not.